You're listening to Mucho Culture Radio, Community Voices.
My name is Tony Entz. I'm Minister of the Public Service Commission here in Nova Scotia, as well as Minister of African Nova Scotian Affairs. I am a native Nova Scotian. My family has been here for many generations. I grew up in the north end of Halifax. I moved away in the late 70s, only to come back home in 2004. And it was in 2004, when I came back, that I was really, really moved to try to give back and try to do more for not only my community, but for many communities in the province. So that's kind of why I put my name forward and began this political process. And I've been rewarded for it ever since, and I'm really enjoying it. My family history, as I said, have been here for many generations on my father's side. My mother's side, they've come here from Barbados. My grandfather was a worker on the Panama Canal. And when he left the Panama Canal, and there were jobs being offered for people of West Indian descent, Caribbean descent, in the coal mines, he moved here and moved to Cape Breton. And he was one of the migrants who came here to work in the coal mines. Shortly after working in the coal mines, this will give you a bit of sense of where I come from, but shortly after working in the coal mines, I think he was only there for 1 year, and then he quit because he didn't like the way they were dictating to him, and he said he was going to go off on his own, so he became an entrepreneur. He began by delivering coal in a community, and he ended up being the principal person for delivering coal all through Sydney. And not only that, he used to teach piano lessons, and he taught classical music. So that gives you a little bit of insight into some of my background. Well, first of all, like, what I find quite interesting, and I used to hear people ask all the time in Ontario. I've had a lot of people from when many people started to immigrate, the majority in the 60s, many people weren't aware that there was over half of the black population in Canada already living here in Nova Scotia way up before the 60s, from the 1700s, really. But why we go and identify as African Nova Scotian, let me back up and just give you a sense of that. Because often I used to get that question, well, why do you guys call yourselves African Nova Scotian? Well, I think it would have been in the late 80s, early 90s. I think it was late 80s more, mid to late 80s, where a group of community members, had realized that we were becoming extinct. And when I say extinct, I mean in the terms of, as African Canadians, we were being lumped in with the recent immigrants that came in the 60s. In order for us to really identify and really point out that we've been here much longer, that's when that term sort of started being used as African Nova Scotian, to make sure that we were a little distinct from the overall African Canadian presence, who, again, as I said, most started in the 60s. Very proud community, a community that, like many African communities of the diaspora, who are linked with church community members, but we are a community that really doesn't have a sense of identity in that we don't have a distinct language. Our distinct language would be Canadian and a version of that Canadian language. So they are very proud in who they are, what they've done, and some of the accomplishments that we've provided for this country, not just the province, but for the country. You can look at, most recently, all the things that are being recognized, and you can look at most African Nova Scotians. Like, you look at Matthew DaCosta and his history, and being an interpreter from one of the founding cultures, the French, in this province. I usually ask people, first, stop. Step back. Take a look at this. You're looking at a person of African descent being an interpreter for the Mi'kmaq and the French. How do you do that if you hadn't been here before or you hadn't had some sort of awareness or connection to the founding cultures, which is the Mi'kmaq here? You've had to have some connection prior to that time that you're being recorded as being one of the first being here. So, and then you go from him to William Halls to what he's done. And then most recent times, Dr. Carrie Bess, and I can go on, Rose Fortune. There are so many people who are linked to Nova Scotia who have done great things for this province and the country. We look at the service battalion and the construction battalion and, the first black officer. And we look at, people such as, and I have to bring this up, allies such as Dr. Murray, who saw the value, saw the capabilities in individuals that were marginalized from society and saw what they could bring. So, I mean, there's a huge history, and I'm not going to go into a big history lesson on that. So I would say the African Nova Scotian community, the African diaspora here, not just African Nova Scotian, but all of it. When I travel around the province and see, there is a huge sense of pride, whether you're more recent or you've been here for years. Even the more recent immigrants consider themselves as Nova Scotian, and they're very proud. And it makes me very proud to see people of African descent having such pride living here. Yeah, it still has some challenges, but they have a lot of pride as well. Well, for me, as a political person, as a person who's sitting in a place where I have an opportunity to speak on behalf of not only my culture, but of all Nova Scotians, it's huge. In 2015, when the United Nations first declared the decade for people of African descent, it was, for me, a beautiful thing when I became aware of what they were doing, the fact that they were pushing for greater awareness of people of the African diaspora, their contributions to the world, to look at the fact that there should be social inclusion, there should be recognition to development of what people of African descent have brought and can continue to bring to most societies, and to look at the fact that there could be recognition for the injustices that we've served as well. This is important. And I would, first of all, before I go a little deeper into that, urge all people of African descent to become aware. Go online to the United Nations website. Look at the document. It's a very heavy document, but you could read sections of this document that could give you some insight into what this decade would mean 10 years. Think of it. 10 years that we can celebrate the accomplishments. We can celebrate, you know, African people of African descent and the diaspora. But through the 10 years, let's not kid ourselves. There's an awareness, there's an education process within that 10-year period where people of all cultures, of all parts of society, can really educate themselves as to who we are as of people of African descent from the beginnings up until current time and all in between. The decade is an opportunity. It has three pillars: recognition, justice, and development. Those three pillars the United Nations has focused on so that we can look at the community in its entirety. What I would say to you is that there is a lot of slow movement. There's not a lot of countries who really have moved forward as much as you would think in terms of the decade. You and I had a conversation before we began online, and you were sharing with me that there are still people of African descent who aren't even aware of the decade. You know, those who are aware are saying, well, what's going on? Why are things moving so slow? And yet, there's still a large segment of our society who is not aware of this decade or even what it means. That is a problem in that we all should be talking about it more. Once you become aware of it, inform yourself, and all should be talking more about this decade. I will tell you that I'm extremely proud of Nova Scotia. Nova Scotia has become one of the first provinces in the nation to proclaim the decade of people of African descent. Now, this just happened about a month ago. Let me explain to you that while we've proclaimed it and one of the first provinces to do so, we also have received some criticism as to why it took so long. It was proclaimed internationally in 2015 that this is the decade. 2018, you're just proclaiming it. Well, you know, Canada is the signatory to the United Nations. So Canada had to proclaim it first. If you look at the protocol, you know, the country, the government of Canada had to proclaim the decade first, then provinces can move forward. That being said, though, Nova Scotia, again, since the 60s, has done so many things, has moved in that direction from a number of perspectives. Let me clarify what I mean by that. In the 60s, we were one of the first provinces to set up the Human Rights Commission because of things that were happening to people of African descent or African Nova Scotians in the 60s, in terms of employment, in terms of just walking through the streets. All those things were happening to people that were unjust. So the Human Rights Commission was set up with that in mind. Then in the late 80s, there was the first ever of its kind in Canada, the Indigenous program for Indigenous Blacks and Mi'kmaq Initiative law school program at Dalhousie University. That says a lot. There's also in the late 60s, early 70s, a group called the Black United Front, which advocated on behalf of people of African descent in this province. We've had in the 90s, the government itself, again, decided to put in place African Canadian Services Division, which is a department of the department which is connected with the Department of Education, and they advocate again, on behalf of the African Nova Scotian student learner. And then we also are still, to this day, that the only government that has those types of offices in place right across Canada. We are the only government that has an office dedicated and to promote and bring awareness to the African Nova Scotian community, which is African Nova Scotian Affairs. So while we can look at some of the things, the injustices, some of the lack of movement, I would say, in this province, we are still a province that has made some commitments, and that's all governments, to advancing the needs and promoting African heritage in this province through providing offices, dedicated offices, and governmental offices to move those agendas forward. There's still a lot of work to do. But we have, you know, by far come much further. And that's what I often try to remind our community. If you look across Canada, you'll see, while we see ourselves, while we're living in the midst of it, as people who are still looking for those equitable opportunities, we are still by far, in terms of policy and everything else, much ahead of any other province in the country. Well, first of all, you asked why Halifax now and everything else. Why not? It's about time. In my history growing up in this province, I'm not as young as most people think, so let me give you a bit of perspective. I was born in the 50s. So being born in the 50s and being raised and growing up in a province that all my life was seen as a have-not province, a province that even during the 60s when there was a lot of work and everything else, compared to the rest of the country, we were considered a have-not province. And my sense of pride of being a Nova Scotian, even when I left this province and was traveling around Canada and so on, I often said, I can't wait to see the time in my life, hopefully, that Nova Scotia is a have province, that Halifax is a have city. I'm looking at a time right now where that shift is actually happening. And it's happening to a level that is surprising many people. I've often said that one of our biggest downfalls as a province, as a city, is the fact that we don't boast enough about what we have here and what the innovation, the abilities that we have here. We've had people leave here and go across Canada and, quite frankly, internationally, and have had an impact on industry, on businesses. And you can clearly go right across this country and you can find at least one Nova Scotian in an organization that has an acute and a profound effect on the way some of those businesses are running. That, to me, says a lot. So as people from Nova Scotia and Halifax, it's about time. And I'm so happy and proud to see that we're experiencing that right now, and that my children and other young people can experience that. The rest of the country, we've been so far east, they haven't seen the real value since the early days when we had the huge, when everything began here in Canada and went across the country. And I'm talking about the fishing industry, when we're talking about the Hudson Bay Company, when we were selling pelts and all those things, right? It all began here, right? They came from England, they stopped here, then they moved across Canada and Upper Canada and so on. So it's about time. Well, first of all, Let me continue by saying to you how most people of African descent can see themselves in the city. They need to step outside their comfort zone. They need to just get out there and be exposed and challenge the norms. They need to really be seen, because often I hear tourists say, well, where are the black people, right? Well, because most of our communities stay within their own little clique and work, you know, in their own little community groups, and they don't get out enough. And I'm talking all those who are most recent and those who are have been here for years. And there will be strength if we all come together. Now, to answer your question about what sport do I like? I like a number of sports, but for me, it was martial arts and football. You know, I really enjoyed those sports, but I like lots of, I like cricket. As a matter of fact, I coached cricket at one time. People look at me like, you did, right? Because it's not a big thing here in Canada. I've also, you know, I love dance. You know, I'm a huge fan of dance and music and foods. Well, you know, growing up here, you know, I've stayed away from it as I'm getting older, but man, the fried clams, that was one of my things there. You know, I used to love the fried clams more than the fish and chips, you know. There's a lot of good things here. When I was growing up, and this is for those people who might chuckle, but some of my food influences were from my grandmother, who was Bajan. So I would have souse, if anybody knows what that is. That's pork hocks and pigtails and stuff, pickled. And you know, I would have kuku, which is like a cornmeal mix, kuku and fish, which I didn't really like that much. There was coconut sweetbread, you know, rice and peas and chicken, but I also loved my French fries and steak and fish and chips, like I said, and clams and chips. And then in my later years, in the 70s, when the Lebanese community began to grow even more, donairs. I used to be a huge fan of late night donairs, but you know, as you get older, you got to stay away from that stuff, right? So, so those are some of the things that Nova Scotia would say have and can, you know, give people. But there's also a new culture being raised here of people, other immigrants who are coming, who are bringing other foods. And the fusion of those foods with the Nova Scotian foods is what you're going to see in the future, and you have to be here to try it.
Have a good time with Mucho Cultural Radio.